You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Oh, good morning, Reading. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show, Positively Healthy, here on KCNR 1460. Nice kind of hazy day out there. The sun has dialed herself down a little bit, so it's a good day to start looking at your yard. That's called foreshadowing as to what's coming up in the show today. Before we start, I want to go over a little bit of just the schedule of things happening in the area. And let's see here. I want to go through, if you haven't been to the Tehama District Fair this coming Thursday on September 23rd, Chef Greg McChristian from the Gaia Hotel will be teaching he'll be doing a demonstration on how to make gazpacho. And so that's at 6 o'clock. And so gazpacho, if you don't know what that is, it's sort of a cold soup full of tomatoes and spices and all sorts of things. And then at 6:30 down there, they have an olive oil tasting, and then they have the gazpacho meal. So all sorts of nice foods, a summer salad, some fresh milled bread and dessert, etc., and also some wine will be served. And so that's for $10. You still have to pay to get into the Tehama County Fair, but that's an upcoming fun thing happening soon. There on September 18th, if you're sort of looking for a fall outing, there is an olive curing class. And that's down at the Grange, and that's put on by the Chafin Family Orchard. And so I'm going to give you, I guess there's no phone number to go with that. So if you want more information about that, you're going to have to email me, and we'll let you know. So that would be tjpratt@charter.net, and I'll teach you how to get in touch with how to do the olive curing class. Also, this coming Wednesday, the group I'm involved with, which is the Weston A. Price Foundation, we put on a class or an event every other month. And this upcoming Wednesday, which is September 22nd, you can bring a sandwich and try some milk down at the Cottonwood Dairy, which is the Mark Duvenvoorden and Lori Duvenvoorden's fabulous dairy down in Cottonwood. And so from 5:30 to 7, you can, you know, show up, go on a stroll, learn about the life of a cow, and you can watch Mark do the afternoon milking of the cows. So that's kind of a neat thing for kids, and actually kids of all ages seem to love going to the dairy, so I can't wait. And that's something where you would call my office at 244-7873 and see if that's, you know, and register with Gail. And so, I think that kind of covers what's coming up this week. And so I'm going to try to keep doing updates as, you know, we just keep adding great things in our community. There's so much going on. And, I think that, let's go to the phone. I know we have a call-in person.
So much going on. And,
Sandra, are you there?
Let's go to the phone. I know we have
Yes, I am.
Okay, you want to turn your radio off?
Okay.
Are you with
yes.
us? Oh, perfect. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, part of having you on today, I want to clue listeners in to the fact that we have buying clubs, and a lot of people don't know what a buying club is, and you have had a buying club for, 10 years or longer?
Pretty close to that, yeah.
Okay. And a buying club is a group of people who get together and they place orders that are just a smidge above wholesale, and you can do bulk buying, and you can really get some nice, good whole foods at a less expensive price. So in a way, it's almost like ordering food that you would see at the health food store, but without a retail price. Is that pretty much what you would describe? How you would describe a buying club?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do we have a lot of them in Reading?
There's a few of them around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then how big is yours?
Oh, big. Oh, I've probably got 20 to 30 people, varies by the month.
Okay. And then what kind of things do you order?
I get the organic Valet cultured butter and the Ezekiel bread, which is sprouted grain bread, the Celtic sea salt. They do have a corn and soy-free egg, organic eggs. As well, ground turkey. They have some organic chickens. different kinds of vegetables, frozen vegetables. You can get them in the large 5-pound bag, which is very economical, or in the small bags. And also soaps. They have laundry soaps, you know, the healthier kind, like you get in the health food store of laundry soap, dish soap.
And how does that work? I know that, are you ordering once a month? Are you doing it more frequently than that now?
I order once a month, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so what is it, if somebody is hearing this and they're thinking, wow, I'd like to do a once-a-month purchase to save some money, how do they get in touch with you?
They can call me. I'm at 547-5230.
Okay. And then, so how do they figure out what options you have, or what is the catalog, or how do they learn about the products for sale?
Yeah, we do have catalogs, and there's a sale catalog that comes out every other month, which is good for 2 months. They can also go to the website, which is azurestandard.com. It doesn't show prices on the website unless you register to open an account, then you can view prices. You can also contact them through the website to get a free catalog. They'll send you the catalog and you know, the current catalog and sale catalog to get started. But any questions they have, they can always call me.
And what do you like about Azure Standard?
Oh, they have a lot of stuff. They have just about everything you want, you know, from... you know, they also have health and beauty items. They have chicken feed, nutritional supplements, just about anything you can get in a health food store, and then some canning supplies.
And then, you know, Azure Standard, they started as a small, basically a farm, right?
They were organic farmers. They started buying bulk for themselves, and then pretty soon they were buying for friends and family, and they grew into this huge business.
And where are they located?
They're in Dufour, Oregon.
And where's that?
Up in the north, probably about the north central part of Oregon.
Kind of good farming, right?
Yeah.
Well, I know that for me, I order from Azure infrequently, but enough to pay for itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things I like about it is that I was... ordering certain grains. I started cooking with quinoa grain and quinoa flour as a flour substitute. So many people have trouble digesting wheat at this point. You know, our digestive tracts are a little damaged. And at our local market, I could buy flour, quinoa flour, for about $10, and it wasn't even a pound. And it was, you know, I mean, that's a lot of money for under a pound of flour.
Yeah.
And I was able to get from Azure... To order from them, I could get a big 5-pound bag of quinoa flour, freshly milled with their special superfine method that they use. They grew it, you know, it's just up the way in Oregon, and it was about $15 for 5 pounds, and that became a price I could afford, you know.
Yeah.
So, even though I wasn't shopping locally, I couldn't afford to shop locally. And so, hey, we need to take a radio break, and I don't want you to go away. So can you just stay on through the break?
Sure.
Okay. Hey, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460 AM, home of Free Fire Media. Hey, Sandra, are you still on the line?
Sure, I'm still here.
Oh, good. You know, we were talking about Azure Standard, and, you know, I've relied on them for a good, I don't know how many years, for being a place you can get really high-quality food, a place you can get... like fertilizer, or a place you can get horse feed, or a place you can get good clean cleaners. And what do you notice that a lot of your customers are buying? What is it that they seem to be needing to get from out of our area?
They're getting the sprouted grain breads, the organic butters, raw cheeses, the flours and the grains. Grapeseed oil vegenaise is a popular one. I'm getting the chicken feed. They have two kinds of chicken feed, the one with corn and soy and one without, so you have your choice there, but they're all organic stuff. You know, a lot of the cleaning supplies, the dish soap, the laundry soap, shampoos, you know, different health and beauty items, those are the most popular.
And what kind of savings can people expect?
It can vary by product. Some things are a huge savings, like what you explained with the flour. That's really large. Some things not quite as much. So it just kind of depends on what you're getting. Some of the more individualized items, like the bread, for instance, if you just get a loaf, it's not as big of a savings. But if you go for the case, which is only 6 loaves, you save quite a bit more.
Okay, so you're encouraged to buy bulk then, basically.
Yeah, and a lot of times we share, you know, in cases with other people. But some cases are smaller, like a case of bread isn't that large, and people just get the whole case. But, you know, a lot of things we do share the cases.
Okay. And then, now, basically what happens with Azure Standard is a truck leaves Oregon, and it comes through Redding. It's going to turn around in San Diego and go back. Is that sort of the leg that we're still on?
Yeah, there's a couple different ones, but, yeah, there is one that goes all the way to San Diego. There's one that doesn't quite as far, but they pick up products on their way back to bring back to Azure after they drop everything off.
Okay. So, and then one of the stops is right here in Redding. And
uh-huh.
So, and then you're the person who then gets the load of food, and then you call everybody and you say, we have it, and then people are coming to your house to come and get it. Is it pretty much that simple?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so why don't you give everybody your phone number again and the website so they can look at what their options are. They can shop around a little and see if they want to call you.
Okay. My phone number is 547-5230. And the website is Azure, it's A-Z-U-R-E, standard.com.
Okay. Well, that's great then. Well, I appreciate you calling in today. If people haven't heard of Azure Standard, I couldn't live without them, and I know you couldn't also. So we rely on them to keep us healthy. And so, yeah. So thanks so much for calling in.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we're going to take a little radio break here, and we'll come back with our super guest, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show, Positively Healthy, here on KCNR 1460. And we want you feeling groovy all the time. And our guest today is Wayne Kessler from Shambani Farms Orchards.
Shambani Organics.
Organics.
Yes.
Aha, okay. Yes, and we have sometimes co-host Mark Beecham. Welcome.
Welcome, Trudy. Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, before we go to winter gardening here, I want to cut in and let you people who are letting me know right now that it is September 18th and the olive curing class that I'm talking about next week is today. And so the only thing I can really do is tell you to look at the slowfoodshastacascade.org website. That's who sent me that information, and maybe you can get a little bit clear on where that class is. I'm not sure at all. So I'm gonna kind of farm you. Speaking of farming, we're gonna farm you out to that location to try to find a little more information, because who wouldn't want to learn how to cure olives? That sounds great. And so back to our guest. So Wayne, welcome and thanks for coming on today.
Well, good morning and thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah. So, you know, we're kind of going through this whole gardening out of control craze thing, and you just taught a class on Thursday of winter gardening to over 50 people. And so what do you attribute this whole sort of let's get our hands in the dirt thing that's happening?
Well, I think there's a few factors. One of them is that people are becoming more conscious about the food safety issues and health issues, that we know that our diets have gone haywire in this country, where over one-third are obese. And up to 50% of the population is overweight, and all of that problem due to the increase of fast food and processed foods. And so some people are saying, well, how can we get around with this? And there is a lot of information coming out of groups like Healthy Shasta and various health advocate groups that are saying we need to get to eating at least 5 portions of fresh fruits and vegetables per day, and that will help us with all of this. And also they're predicting that on a national level, that the children born after year 2000, one-third of them will become diabetic. And if you're, it increases to being two-thirds in some communities. And so this is a huge health issue. And how do you combat that? Well, by eating more fresh fruits and vegetables and staying away from the highly processed foods that contain too much salt, too much oil, and too much sugar, especially the corn sugars.
And so, how do you think people are actually really putting the connection, they're connecting their food with their health problems? You think they're starting to do it finally?
I think there is a growing number of people that are doing that. But there's also another factor in that is that people are saying that the cost of food is going up. And they're saying, oh, we can't quite afford this and all this. And I'm a believer that if even if you're on a low budget, if you're given the choice of fresh fruits and vegetables over some other processed foods, you're going to go to the fresh fruits and vegetables if it's easy and affordable.
When you were talking before the show started about the sort of level of ignorance on the part of a lot of Americans about fresh food, fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, and you have some everyday experience with this. Every week you've got a stall at the farmer's market. People mm-hmm. come up to you and they ask you pretty surprisingly baseline questions like, is that a tomato or is that a cucumber? And they mm-hmm. regularly misidentify things that you'd think they would have learned, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, we sell organic vegetables and herbs, starts to the farmers markets in the area and also to the some of the local retail nurseries. And when we're astounded at often that people come up to us and say, well, I want to start a garden. How do you do it? I mean, this is a big topic, and we are trying to encourage, well, yes, you can do it. And so what we try to say, well, you should keep it simple. Start out with two or three things that you really like to eat. Learn about your garden soil. Learn about these plants. And because gardening is a constant learning process. It changes with the variety of vegetables. It changes with the season, and it changes with your own habits. So you're always learning a new variety of tomato or a new broccoli or a something else that you've never tried. For example, we've started marketing a spinach that you can grow in this hot weather. It's called a mountain spinach or auric, and it is very tasty. It stands well against the heat. It will be a 4 foot tall plant versus a little one that you have to squat over and bend over and eat. So and of course, out of this has grown a series of workshops and classes that we have given on how to do some basic things. And right now we're going to do another one at the community teaching garden. That's located at Shasta College. We're going to give that on fall and winter gardening, and that's going to be on the Saturday morning of the 25th of this month.
Excellent.
So you can contact the Shasta College, go to their website, go to the link to the teaching garden. And so you can sign up that way. And if you can't do it, then you just show up.
What time is it?
I think it's... I would say 10 to 12.
Okay. We might be able to figure that out before during our break so we can have exact info, because, boy, people will want to do that.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, we're seeing a rise in the interest due to what I said, the food thing, and people are wanting to see a way they can cut costs. And you can save a fair amount of money if you do gardening year-round and even on a very small plot of soil.
Okay. Well, now, at your class that had 50 people, were these mostly beginners? Were these mostly intermediate? Or did you have a combination of everybody? Who was in the audience?
Generally, we have a combination of everybody. I would say majority of people had already done some gardening. Now they want to do more in the fall-winter gardening area at this time. And so it's a certain different techniques, and you have a different variety of crops that you can grow during the fall and winter here. But I really encourage people to make use of our great climate up here, that we can actually grow things year-round. You just can't grow a tomato in January, but you can grow some really nice kale, chard, collards, spinaches. You know, you can grow lots of really delightful things here.
Oh, that's exciting.
I go I'm up in the mountains a little bit, but I go out in January and have to brush sometimes the snow off the top of my broccoli or pick up the collards a little bit. But, I mean, they're so sweet and nice. And a little add thing, people don't know this, that the reason some of these crops do very well is that when it gets cold, they get sweet because their sugars that they produce are their antifreeze.
Oh, interesting.
And so it's a really nice thing.
Well, we're going to take a little radio break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Wayne Kessler a little more. He's from Shambani Organics, and we're going to talk winter gardening. We'll be right back.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestone.
Oh, welcome back. You know, according to Wayne Kessler, the expert in the studio here, when it comes to winter gardening, what's the best way to start? Start little and start with vegetables that you love, things you're already going to go buy. And so, Wayne, you have this nice list of vegetables here. Boy, it's quite a long list that we can grow in our area. Why don't you read that to the folks out in Radio Land?
Okay, but I want to make a correction. I am not an expert. I am an expert in, I know a lot about my own garden. Everybody has a different garden, different soil, and different conditions. You all have to become an expert in your own garden, and I cannot become an expert in your garden without spending hours and hours there.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's a disclaimer.
Okay. Root crops. Here, for example, you can plant beets and carrots by seed now, radishes by seed, turnips by seeds, parsnips, possibly rutabaga. All of these can be root crops that you can put in by seed right now. Onions, you'll need sets to plant onions at this time. But
can you explain what that means to those of us?
A set is it's not a seed. It is already grown to a certain level, and then you transplant it in. Or it becomes, you can get it in a little bag with little bulbs at the end. They're about the size of your end of your thumb.
Oh.
And you put those in. And these are wintering over. In other words, you plant them now and you harvest them next May or June. For example, you put a Walla Walla in now. It will do nothing. It will stay there and doesn't look like it can do anything. But it'll get a 6-inch Walla Walla by June next year if you've got good soil. If you plant a Walla Walla in the springtime, we also sell sets in the springtime, you will get a smaller Walla Walla in August. So, but this is a perfect use of your garden spot to get some really fresh, good onions. So you have all kinds of red, yellow, scallions, chives, garlic, shallots, leeks. All of these can go in the ground now. There's the greens, which we sometimes call, brassicas, coal crops, and these are kale. There are three or four kinds of kale. My favorite happens to be the red Russian kale because it's very sweet. But there's the lacinato, or some people call it dinosaur kale. And it's a sort of a dual purpose. You can use it in your salads as well as steaming it up and making a very delicious thing. I like steaming up my kale with some garlic and some onions and some, and then top it off with a squeeze of lemon juice or something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's quite tasty.
Yeah.
Well, you have also collards, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbages, Brussels sprouts, and all of that. So those do really well growing all winter long. Also, you can have some greens of lettuces, spinach, chard, arugula, mustards, all do pretty well. These are not as hardy as the others, so if you're up in the mountains where you get snow loads or really heavy frost, they will tend to be injured or sort of burnt by the freezing temperatures. But we can have, you down here in the valley, you can have beautiful bunches of romaine lettuce or oak leaf lettuce or red lettuce at Christmas time. So you have your Christmas salads here.
So if we start now, we can really have our Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner figured out.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Of course. You can have rutabagas. You know what rutabaga is?
I love rutabaga.
It's a Swede, right? Anyway,
maybe,
rutabaga,
I don't know.
Rutabagas and carrots mixed together make them very good winter vegetables, along with your winter squashes that you have stored. You can also, it's a little late right now to start from seed, but a little late for your sugar snap peas, sugar snap beans, and these can be grown if you plant them in the last part of August, and you can have them before the freeze comes. And the end of, generally here, the end of October or early November, we'll get our first frost. So those are some things you can grow. There are more.
That's really encouraging. I had a question about you said something before the show about the idea of teaching this life skill to not just the people that you do in the community now, but trying to teach it at the high school or grammar school level. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well,
in an ideal world, that would be.
In an ideal world, but the thing is, the ideal world is disappearing. And so what we're dealing with is, I think there are going to be some radical changes in our food system. High costs, shortages, and everything else, especially in the area of fresh fruits and vegetables. Because if the fuel prices go way up, we're not going to get our winter peaches from Chile or Mexico tomatoes or whatever. We're not going to get them. And so we're going to have to be more self-reliant on our fresh fruits and vegetables. Therefore, to teach them at an earlier age in a grammar school or elementary school and high school, I think is becoming more and more important. And I think some schools have learned this. There are a dozen or more school gardens going into the elementary schools. But we're not teaching it to the high school kids as well, and I think we should be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like your idea, Trudy, that we make it a graduation requirement that every student must know 10 different recipes, how to cook 10 different recipes from maybe 10 different vegetables that they grew.
I liked it when you added that, yeah.
And so, you know, I think if we start doing this at this stage, and people will become more self-reliant. And even if you live in an apartment or with a patio, you can grow a lot of things. Because I have friends that have that grow out of buckets and barrels, and that's all you need, you know. And they have their lettuce in one bucket, and they have their broccoli in another bucket, and then if it's cold, they move them inside.
I was just at someone's house where they were planting an old ice chest, and I thought, well, there you go. They just had a whole bunch of old ice chests that was their raised bed. I thought, that's within something I could probably pull off.
So, perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah.
I'm a believer that you should not necessarily go out and buy an expensive piece of equipment or anything else, or make one of these fancy raised beds or whatever. Use the material you've got around the house. Buckets, old inner tubes, tires and things like that make good places for gardens.
Oh, that's great.
And so I'm saying we should keep it simple, keep it inexpensive, you know, keep it so you are And keep it easy. Don't go around and do a lot of unnecessary work.
Unnecessary work. I'm against that. Hey, you're listening to Positively Healthy. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Wayne Kessler of Chobani Organics. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. Oh, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. In the studio, we have Wayne Kessler, organic gardener, and, you know, during the break, we had a moment of full confessions, and Jim, the producer, admitted that he's a fabulous gardener, and he composts, and he doesn't...
I didn't say that.
Oh, I know, but...
Well,
I
like Wayne said, I mean, you have to know your own garden, and we've lived in this house for 20-something years, so we've been gardening every year, so we have, you know, a certain routine, we know what works where, and of course, that changes from time to time, as Wayne was saying. You have to adjust over the years.
But you've also got really good soil down there.
We do, yeah.
On the river.
We live near the river, and we have very good soil. The worst thing we have to do is really take out rocks, because, you know, there are so many rocks, because it's kind of like riverbed soil, you know, from a floodplain years ago.
But if you live in West Redding and you're dealing with this red clay, everything I've ever grown practically has died.
Two words for you. Compost.
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 Compost, okay. I was thinking of maybe coming down to your neighborhood.
Bring buckets.
Steel soil.
Bring some buckets.
We're moving in.
We can spare some.
Yeah. But Wayne, you were talking about building soil. Could you explain what building soil is?
Okay. Building soil is you start with what you've got and you're trying to increase the fertility of that soil by building on top of it in some cases, or rather than digging it up and removing it out, or even bringing in other good soil from river bottoms. If you've got rocks and you're going to build a bed on top of rocks, then you'll need to bring in some soil. But in most cases, what you can do is start with the soil that you've got, and which is, let's talk about a red clay, hard pan type of soil. And what I usually do in the starting of that is that I will start by scratching in and planting what we call a cover crop. A cover crop is something that grows all winter long, and in the early spring it produces a very thick vegetation. And this is a mix of vetch and peas and beans and mustards and rye grasses. And there's even one mix from Peaceful Valley Supply that's called a sod buster. And it has triticale and rye and so forth that the roots penetrate deep into the very hard soil. Okay. So next, what I do is that in the springtime when I'm ready to start the next layer, I press it down, I chop it down, I go over with a mower, a weed eater, and just leave it down there on the ground. Then I will cover my area with cardboard. I wet the cardboard down. Then I will take a load of compost. Now, if you don't build your own compost, you're going to have to buy compost for the first year or so. So I put compost, and then I put a load of manure on top of that, and then another load of maybe straw or something else. And so I'm building a bed on top of the soil that's already. I'm not even digging it. I'm letting the cover crop start to work. And I'm covering it with cardboard so I can get the worm activity in there. And so I'm building my layers on top of it. And so I repeat this two or three times, so I've got something up about 30 inches high almost. And sometimes I will put a nice a layer of, if I have good dirt from the garden, somewhere, that I'll put it there, and then I'll plant directly into that. But I usually let my lasagna bed lay there for a month or so, and as it sort of sinks down, then I plant right in the top of it.
So
that's one way of building the soil off of something that is terrible.
Is that a multi-year process, or is it a one-year endeavor?
It's always you're building the soil. So once you've got your first bed, and let's say you want to plant cucumbers in that, so you plant cucumbers, And then in the when the cucumbers are finished, then you put another two or three layers on top of that. So you're always adding layers on top of that. And again, the key word here has been said, compost, compost, compost. Because everything the soil really needs, it is in a good compost mix. And so I, one of the things I say, if you're really going to serious about, if you've got a garden backyard or even front yard, if you've got the space, start your compost piles. And I am a lazy compost mixer. I throw everything in there, and then I just let it sit. I don't bother by turning it or anything else. I usually have 3, 4, 5 going at any one time. And so I just let it go, and then when it's ready, you know what it smells like, a compost pile? Dirt. If it's not ready, it smells like garbage or leaves or something like that. So you can always tell when a compost is ready. And, of course, the top of a compost pile will still be leaves and things that are not broken down. So you just scrape that off and use the bottom part. If you've got a good area, a big, good pile of compost mixture of your household garbage and leaves and straw and manure and all of that going on, so what you can do is throw a blanket or a rug or something over that for the winter time, so when the heavy rains don't sort of leach it all out. So it tends to let it breathe and everything else.
That makes sense.
So that's one way to making compost. I make my compost in two ways. As the piles all around the garden, not too far because I don't like hauling it too far. And the other way is I put my compost layers on my top of the bed that I want to plant in. So I don't even move it. I'm just building it.
Okay, well, you know, that made sense, but it sounded hard. So I'm gonna admit that. That made sense, but there's a lot to do. I'm 2 years away from a tomato, I can tell.
Well, so. I can tell you a real simple, very quick thing.
Okay.
If you have a bad soil, dig a big deep hole, at least a foot across, 2 feet deep, backfill it with compost and manure and stuff like that, and plant right into it.
And I can do that?
For tomatoes and any of the deep-rooted crops.
Okay, but shortcuts.
Yeah, cover crop is really the best way to start building up, but it takes time.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Positively Healthy, and we'll be right back with more gardening tips.
What do you look for?
Welcome back. You're listening to Positively Healthy, and in the studio we have Wayne Kessler, organic gardener. And Wayne, you have classes coming up. I know listeners who are putting this all together in their minds, a lot of it sounds easy, some of it sounds hard, and you have more instruction coming up through the Shasta College Teaching Garden, right?
Well, it's a community teaching garden located at Shasta College.
Okay.
It's not one of their programs, so it's a little bit different. You don't have to register for a class per se.
I see.
But we do have to register to, and some of the classes have a fee, small fee to it. So the first one we have coming up would be on Saturday the 23rd. We have a fall-winter gardening workshop. These are on-site at the garden, and you expect to get your fingernails dirty because we're going to be actually doing some probably transplanting and planting at that time. We have, let's see, I think there's also one coming up on Sunday, the 10th of October. That is, I'm not sure of the topic of that one, but
Now, these are all in October, right?
Yeah, these two. And then we have one more coming on the September the 25th. We have a workshop from 10 to 12 at the Teaching Garden site, which is located around the sort of the northeast corner of the campus. And so that's going to be there. I think that's also on winter gardening.
Okay, so which one, when was the composting?
The composting one, we're going to do one on cover crop on the November the 6th, Saturday. That's going to be on how the best cover crops to use for the different kinds of soil. And we also, on the 20th of November, we do one on composting.
Okay. So and are these all online, Shasta College?
We are going to be getting it set up. We just set some of these dates just the other day. And
okay.
Once we get up, we do have a website on that you can find the links by going to shastacollege.edu, so you can find out that way.
Now, that teaching garden over the summer was quite a success, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
this was the first year, and people really did latch onto that as a way to learn how to garden?
Yes. This is an email address. You can one is teachinggarden@shastacollege.edu. The telephone number you can contact is 242-2248.
And how do people get in touch with you?
Well, I'm not sure what do you mean by get in touch with me.
Well, what if they just, the things they've learned today, they're okay. Thinking, hey, that Wayne guy, he was pretty cool.
We have Shambani Organics has a website, so you can go to that, shambaniorganics.com.
What does it mean?
Okay. Shambani means in the garden, or in our garden, and it's spelled Shambani, organics, one word, I mean all one word, .com. And so you can contact me also at 474-1646.
Now, do you come out and just help people in their garden, kind of give them some ideas? Do you do a little bit of a consulting thing?
Consulting, yes and no. Yes, I do.
Are you willing to admit that you do it?
Yes. But you see, again, I encourage people and give them some pointers on how they can learn their own garden.
Right, right. I don't mean do you come over and garden for people. That's not really what I mean.
No, I'm too lazy.
No, I'm
for
suddenly
that.
Interested.
I'm too lazy for that. But I can come and help some people, get in touch with their soil.
Okay, and then our other we have the college teaching garden, but we have these other community gardens. What are they, and who gardens there?
Okay, community garden are run by People of Progress. And there are two sites, one over off of Victor at the Enterprise, park, and then the other one's down by Gieselhorf Bridge. And so these, where you have to sign up, you get a little plot of land, and then you do your own gardening there.
Hmm.
If you're in an apartment and you want to be more serious, you try to sign up for one of these, and they're allocated every, I think, winter time or something like this, and so you can garden that way.
Wayne, how can people hook up with you during the week? Where are you available? Do you have the farmer's market?
They can find you on Saturday out at the farmer's market, but are you mostly home gardening?
Yeah, okay. I'm at home, so they can give us the telephone number that I gave them.
But you're at the farmer's market every week, right?
Yes.
Well, as we finish up here in our last minute, do you have any just real general words of encouragement for the people listening who are thinking,
Well, the only thing I can say is that make use of our good climate up here. You can garden all winter long, all fall, winter long, and then you'll be ready to start in the springtime with your tomatoes and your peppers and your favorite things like eggplant.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I'm going to hope that, last year we tried one tomato plant that didn't really take, and this year we tried squash that didn't work, but I want to be bragging next spring, I can tell.
Good
so,
for you.
Yeah.
For you.
This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. We'll be back next week.